Hello, it's an honor to be with you here today. Thank you very much for the organizers. I'd like to, first of all, introduce myself and my company. We are a group with 40,000 employees working in 47 countries. The sixth larger European insurer in non-life, leader in Latin America. We recently bought operations here in Europe, in Germany and in Italy, direct line operations. And we were among the pioneers of telematics in the world when we launched in 2007 the white car. As Sandy told her, I'm the corporate director of innovation, chief innovation officer responsible for the innovation in the group. I'm coordinating a group of 70 professionals working in 12 countries that are responsible for making the value proposition of the group evolve. So enough of me. The purpose of my presentation today is to share a vision. I don't pretend to lecture or being too deterministic about what's going to happen in the industry, but I'd like to share with you what is our vision about where the industry is going related with auto insurance and telematics. And the purpose, obviously, is to open the debate. I've put here this slide of a second before of the Big Bang, because my impression, obviously, is there's going to be a major change that is coming in the industry, and it's about to happen. Well, I took Gartner's hype cycle. I guess most of you are already familiar with this slide. And I asked myself, where are we as insurers in terms of telematics? And I'll ask you to reflect about it before I give you my impression. I know a lot about hypes, by the way. I've been working in the internet in the 1.0 bubble, and then I worked for mobile operators when we were purchasing 3G licenses to operate in European countries. So I've done all kind of unbelievable business plans. So I can talk about hypes. Where are we? Well, my impression is the aftermarket solutions are at this point. We've passed the hype. We are delivering. The technology is already delivering. So that's good news in the sense that what is in the market is working, but it's bad news in terms of the expectations we can have out of that. Let me tell you what is my reflection over this. So I like this Jack Welch sentence of face reality. It possibly is one of the best sentences in the history of management literature, even if it was not literature. He didn't sell a book for that. But it's face reality. Not as it is, not as it was, or as you wish to be. But honestly, we insurers, we have to look at ourselves and say, what have we been able to sell in telematics until now? Well, most of the value propositions we have been able to sell regard to the payless. It's a payless message to the customer. In two different kinds of situations. Obviously, it's the pay as you drive and pay how you drive applied to different situations. But from the perspective of the customer, is do I drive more or less than the average of the market? If I drive less, possibly a pay as you drive is going to fit my needs. And pay how you drive from an insurer is a way of cherry picking risk among pools of bonds of bad risk. Okay, but this has been working when the potential of the savings for the customer is overwhelmingly high compared with the troubles that the customer has to go. Customer experience, it is not the best we have been able to develop until now. A good example is the south of Italy, where there is enormous potential. I mean, I know there are many Italians around in the audience, but in the south of Italy, you pay TPL premiums average of around 900. I've looked at several sources. I haven't been able to establish the precise figure, but it's around 900 to 1,000. And if you go to Facile or any of the aggregators and you do the code for certain cars, it can even go to 3,000 euros for TPL in a low-end car. So that's enormous. Meanwhile, the north of Italy pays premiums which are more or less close to the European average. Well, that's an enormous possibility of for an insurer to cherry pick risk in that market, and telematics can help you. That's a good example. There are other examples in Europe, in the world, but not that many. What barriers have telematics found until now? Well, for me, the first one is that for dominant insurers that have a big market share in a certain market, it's a way of cannibalizing existing revenue. So therefore, if dominant, there are exceptions, but as a general rule, I think most of the big insurers around the world are afraid of eroding their current revenue sources with telematics proposals. Because as I told you, what we have been able to sell is a payless proposition. Other value-added services have a very difficult business case with existing solutions. That is my view. Are we honestly able to deliver more value? I mean, the kind of value that the customer is willing to pay with existing solutions? For me, this is one of the biggest questions. And to be honest as well, customer experience has a lot of room for improvement. That's a way of being euphemistic. I think we could do much better. What I think is the future. Embedded solutions are at this point. This is my view. The solutions that are built in by the manufacturer in the car. We are opening a totally new scenario. I've brought you here the example of the Tesla Model S. Chief Engineer Officer in Tesla, Franz von Hohausen, mentioned once, a couple of years ago, that the Model S is like an iPhone on wheels. He mentioned that the comparison is in different terms, but I would like to focus more on the IT part. This is a car that updates, because it's a car which is already connected, updates the software that is inside. It's a car where you can load applications. It's a car which is connected. It's a car that has an user interface that looks like this. And it's obviously a car that is manufactured by only 100,000 per year. And it's sold only in a part of the world. I mean, we have to admit that this is limited, but it has a value of setting a trend. It's a car that plays with a different logic. We will go back to that then, after. I think there are some Fiat gentlemen around in the room. Congratulations for the 500X. I saw it in the 3GSM in Barcelona. It's a wonderful car. For me, the interest of the 500X is it has a built-in solution that goes beyond the infotainment solution of the Uconnect, this Fiat solution. And it has it in a mid-end car, mid-slash-low-end car. And this is something that we're going to see more and more. So if manufacturers start including these solutions in their cars, the scenario is going to totally change. I mean, I'm not thinking on James Bond-like applications in the car. I mean, BMW, I admire a lot the work of BMW as a manufacturer, but I was in Munich on the fire, and I saw these kinds of solutions. I mean, you have a sort of a watch or a wearable device that is able to synchronize with the car and set up the temperature of the car before you enter and opens without that. That's very fancy, but that does not have any kind of obligation for an insurer. That does not have any interest for us as an industry. Doesn't have anything to do with risk management. This is car manufacturer business. I'm thinking on applications like some of these have been, the Hella Group one is a press release. Volvo solution was presented 2013. Hella Group just made public that they are working on what they call an intelligent body in the car. So it's a system of sensors that is able to provide information about the state of the body, how if the body has been scratched, if there has been an impact, and provide you information about when that has happened. That obviously has a lot of interest for an insurer. It's a totally different kind of solution. Volvo launched in 2013, 2 years ago now, an anti-collision system that extended not only to cars, but to pedestrians and cyclists and bikers. The question is, as far as the industry works on that direction, that's something that can have an impact on the price of the insurance. That's something where an insurer is going to be able to interact with the car and the user and provide additional value. For me, this news, these facts that we are seeing in the industry leads us to a completely different scenario, which is we are seeing how the car industry is moving from a value chain logic with the pyramidal structure of tier ones to tiers, whatever, with the OEM in the top of the peak, and so on, to an ecosystem approach. I'm not saying that it is going to change totally the industry. Car is a very complex industrial product, but certain parts of the service associated with the management of the car are changing in the way that it can be understood as an ecosystem. For me, best example of an ecosystem is the Formula One, where Bernie Ecclestone understood very soon that he is the one that runs the show and everybody else is doing business around him. I mean, he doesn't have a team, he doesn't own a circuit, he doesn't manage pilots, he just puts a place to do so others can do business. And the logic in the car industry is changing to that situation. It has happened before. I mean, we have very good examples. Mobile telephony or the car or the computer industry saw the transformation. Guys like Jobs or Gates had that intuition many years ago and saw how the industry was going to that kind of approach. It's not a value change. It's an ecosystem. And an ecosystem should have at least a certain set of features that allow the other players to do business. One is a value proposition built based on a core product, and around that core product, there are certain applications that can be delivered to the customer. Obviously, there has to be a system that delivers that application, those applications to the end customer. There has to be a win-win business model, so everybody at least make a reasonable profit. So this is not about the manufacturers still in the business, because automotive insurance is a very, very complex very, very complex product. I mean, I see news of recent acquisitions by some by NSA in the case of the UK. It's a tough business, automotive insurance. It's very easy to lose a lot of money in this industry. And finally, obviously, we need an IT environment that allows to make all the above possible. In the case of the automotive industry related with insurance, obviously we have to factor that the OEMs are going to be in the center of that ecosystem. But it will be a mistake not to account with other players. As I told you, automotive insurance is it's a very, very difficult business. I see the internet companies, the technology companies, especially Apple and Google, trying to play a role. I don't see possible that that role is played only by them. Car manufacturers are going to be still at the center. In that environment, I'm convinced that an insurer should play a completely different role. We are talking about the risk management of the car. We are not talking anymore about insurance. We are talking about managing, helping the customer and the manufacturer to manage the risk in a car. And that spans a lot of services like road assistance, ensuring car maintenance. I'm not meaning delivering car maintenance. I'm very aware that the manufacturers consider that part of the business as an extension of the service. But understanding that the car is properly maintained, it's of interest of an insurer, especially when it becomes of estimating the risk of a certain car. Claims management integrated with intelligence of the vehicle, fraud avoidance, risk prevention, and the most important thing is a pricing that considers all of the above. It's pretty obvious to me if a car is properly maintained, if a car has anti-collision systems, if the driver drives properly, we shouldn't charge the same premium to that specific person than to the other that does not accomplish those circumstances. What is the perspective for in manufacturers? One important thing is we still have to understand, not only they, but everybody in the industry has to understand the potentials of the business case. I mean, this has a lot of cost in terms of new sensors, new electronics in the car. How are we going to pay for that? Who is going to be able who will pay for it? The point is, I think the car as an industrial product has been able to maintain a lot of value through the years. I mean, if you compare the car with other other consumer good, durable consumer good, the value that represents in the budget of a family has been maintained much more than other kinds of home appliances. Compared with a TV, compared with a refrigerator or other home appliances. I mean, the thing is the car still has some status associated features that will allow it to maintain a certain value. But when we are start talking about including additional sensors in the car, I'm not pretty sure that the end customer is going to be willing to pay for that. So we have to find a business model that suits everybody and is able to deliver additional value. Obviously, the possibilities of enhancing the service are enormous. I mean, imagine a car without claims processing. Imagine a car where you, when you have an accident, the road assistance goes directly without any notice. I mean, all the industry, all the telematics industry have already thought of that. What I'm telling here is that when the manufacturer includes certain sensors in the car, it's going to be perfectly possible. And obviously, the possibility for a manufacturer that when they include that in the car, the insurance paid by the end customer is definitely cheaper. What are the key success factors for an insurance for an insurer in that scenario? For me, the first one, we have to have global reach. There is no other possibility of doing business here. So the only possibility is being able to design solutions with other members of the ecosystem that have a global reach. The second is to being able to provide services, not merely insurance coverage. So risk management extends to different, not only to the insurance, but to different parts of the service. The technology capabilities of designing this and integrating with the car. Finally, the capability of making sense out of it, making sense out of the data, the analytics capabilities.